this morning. Hallelujah. Can you say shalom to all the bride assembly, all the bride assembly that are watching us all over the world? Can you say shalom to all of them? God bless you all. God bless you. Hallelujah. What a wonderful privilege to be in His presence. What a wonderful privilege to be in His presence. We'll never take it for granted. We pray that the Lord will speak to us. And may the name of the Lord be praised. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Who can remind all the last topic we treated? Because the last topic we treated last week had something to do with what we are going to say this morning. Can anybody help us out quickly? The last topic I treated. Can anybody help us out? Okay, a brother is raising hands. God bless you, brother.
The man of Shechem.
Please celebrate that, brother. Celebrate him for me. The man of Shechem. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord spoke to us in that message. We are going to move in that line. Children of God, please, let's see, before we introduce the topic, let's see Judges chapter 8, verse 22. That is where we are going to derive our topic from. Judges chapter 8, verse 22. Praise God. Now, you know, in that story where we read, while we are waiting for the ID, in that story of the men of Shechem, for those of you that were not around, we saw that Gideon was used mightily to deliver the children of Israel. Are you aware? The Lord used Gideon mightily to a point whereby, even when, before the whole thing started, the Lord spoke to Gideon. He said to Gideon, "The hour has come for my people to be delivered." Still hang the scripture. Now you know that when the Lord spoke to Gideon, what was the excuse that Gideon gave? Gideon gave two excuses. Do you remember? The first one he said was what? He said, "I am the least from where? From my family." Praise God. And not just the least, I am also from where? From a poor background. That means my family is poor. Unknown to Gideon that God has no business to do with where you are coming from. God has no business to do whether you are poor, you are rich. When God have destiny to use you, He will use you. So your background is of no use to Him. The only thing God was so much interested was that there was a might in Gideon. Do you remember? The Bible said, the Lord said to Gideon, "Go in this thy might." So which means that although Gideon was poor, although Gideon was the least from the family, but there was a burden in Gideon. Praise God. I say praise God. There was a burden in Gideon. And with that burden that was in Gideon, Gideon was able to deliver the children of Israel. Do you know that after that deliverance, for good 40 years, there was peace in Israel? For good 40 years. For you to know that the miracle that God did with Gideon was extraordinary. Celebrate Jesus. Now let's see. After that deliverance, After the deliverance, now look at Judges. "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy son's son also. For what? For thou hast delivered us." From where? "From the hand of the Midian." Verse 22. "And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall thy son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Now, verse 24, take note. That is my emphasis, and that is where we are driving our topic from. "And Gideon said unto them, I will what? I will desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had a golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites." So that means there's the difference between children of God and the Ishmaelites. So what the Ishmaelites had, the children of God do not have it. Oh, you're not getting me. So when you are putting on your rings, we are doing all those things, it is an Ishmaelite makeup. So as Christians, we are not to be entangled with the Ishmaelite makeup, or rather the makeup that is from above. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now look at verse 26. Verse 26 says something that is very interesting. Verse 26. Now, okay, let's see verse 25. It's like I've not read that 25. Verse 25. And they answered, will we what? Will we willingly give them? Who will not do that? When you have seen a mighty miracle, when you have seen what you have not seen before, the children of Israel suffered in the hands of the Midianites. So even if Gideon said, I want you people to bring your word, one member from your family and sacrifice them for me, they will willingly do that because what they saw is beyond their comprehension. Making it understand that we live in a generation that what you see may determine your reaction. But as a Christian, we are not to move by what we see. We move by the reactions of the word of God. Oh, you didn't get me. Oh, praise God. And they said, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment. And do what? And did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. I don't know whether you're getting the point. At that point, now they expressed their word, they spread their word, their mat or whatever, and every one of them begin to bring their earring, every prey, all of this spoil. They gathered from the world, from the land of the Midian. They gathered everything and handed them over to Gideon because Gideon requested it. Now, verse 26. And the weight of the word, of the golden earrings that he requested was what? Was 1,700 shekels of gold. Beside the ornaments and the collar and the purple and the raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about the word, the camel's neck. That means it was much. Verse 27, my emphasis. And what did Gideon do? And Gideon made an effort. Everybody say one to me. Let's read that first sentence. And Gideon made an effort. Read it louder. So this morning, we'll be looking at Gideon's effort. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Yes. Gideon's effort. Hallelujah. If you are still with me, shout amen. Now, Gideon's effort. Now, you can see. Now, if I'm to ask, because this is a class, if I'm to ask, what did Gideon use to make the effort? No, I need somebody to answer us. I need a brother to answer us. Okay, let's say chorously, because of time. What did Gideon use to make the efforts? Shout it. The earrings, where were the earrings coming from? The earrings, they gathered it from where? All right, you are a good student. You are a good student. That means you follow the what we read. Now, what is, when we talk about the Gideon's effort, we are trying to make it understand because the Old Testament, it is a shadow of what? Of things to come. Now, you should also understand that with this Gideon's effort, you will see how we are going to link it to this generation we are. Because this generation we are, they have also set up their own effort. Yes, the generation we live in is a generation that have also set up their own effort. Or we Christians, we have also set up our own effort. And God this morning wants to redirect our attention, want to make us understand that whatever that we have taken on to be an effort has to die this morning. Hallelujah. It has to die this morning. Now, when you go further, you will notice that it was not God that instructed Gideon to do that. It wasn't God. In fact, if you permit me to say, Gideon did that on his own accord. Gideon made that effort on his own thinking. Now, Gideon was sincere in what he did. Now, why did I say Gideon was sincere? His intention, his motive was not, it was quite different from the perspective that the Israelites perceive it. Meaning that if Gideon have seen the danger of what he was about to do, he couldn't have attended to do that. He couldn't have what? Have attended to do that. But he did that because he was moved. He wanted them to remember that there was a certain time, there was a certain period that God delivered us from the hands of the Midianites. Making us understand as Christians, whatever we want to do, we must consult the oracle. What is the oracle? The Bible. The Bible is the oracle. Praise God. I say praise God. Now let's move forward to the introduction. Let's see the introduction. Now, the story of Gideon is one of the victory, courage, and divine empowerment. God raised a fearful man and turned him into a mighty deliverer. That was Gideon. Through only 300 men, God defeated the Midian and restored hope to who? To Israel. Yet, after this great triumphant, Gideon made an effort that became a snare to who? To himself and the nation Israel. We will see that. You see, this teaches a timeless truth. A believer or a pastor can win battle. Yes. Perform many miracles. Yes. Win souls. Yes. ETC. Publicly and still lose direction privately. Privately. You see, many believers know how to fight enemies, but few know how to manage success. Few know how to manage success. You see, the tragedy was not that Gideon fought Midian. The tragedy was that after the conquering of Midian, what did he do? He did not conquer self. He did not conquer self to some extent. There was some incitement in Gideon. Gideon was highly incited. You see, excitement you have, that if you are not careful, it may lead you to do something that contradicts the Bible. You should not only be what? Excited. You should also look inward. Now let's read further. Praise God. Now, what is Gideon's effort? This Gideon effort we are looking at, what is he? Now, for those of you who have not come across the word effort, the effort has been used. Please, IT, show me that picture, that sticker, if you can show me. Now, effort has been what? They have been using effort in the Old Testament. Now, effort, you know, in the Old Testament was what David used for direction. David used it to ask God for direction. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, let's see verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9. Now, and David knew that Saul secretly what? Practiced mischief against him. And he said to what? To Abithia, the priest, bring hither the what? Bring hither the what? Read it now. Bring hither the what? The effort. Verse 9 or verse 10. Then saith David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to what? To destroy the city for my sake. Now, with the men of what? Of care, deliver me up into this world, into his hand. This is God, this is David inquiring, asking God for direction. But the inquiring only came when they have brought effort, meaning that the effort was also to seek for direction in case you miss your way. You can put it on or have it, you know, and at the end, when you have put it on or have it, you can do whatever you want to do. Now let's see for that. Will the men of Kia deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath had? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will do what? He will come down. The last verse there. Then seeth David, will the men, this David now, going further to inquire. Will the men of Kia deliver me and may end into the hands of the sword? And the Lord say what? Let's read the last one. They will deliver thee up. So from this where we read, effort was also used in the old to ask for direction, to inquire. Praise God. I say praise God. So Gideon was not a novice. Gideon knows what effort is used for. Gideon knows the importance of effort, but Gideon did not use the effort the way he should. That was the problem. Let's look at another instance before we go further. Let's see Exodus chapter 28. Let's start from verse 2. Exodus 28. And thou shalt make holy garments. You can see now, that was, it's also referring to effort. In fact, effort is synonymous to garments. That is to say that another word for effort can be referred to be garments. Praise God. And thou shalt make a what? A holy garment for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for what? And for beauty. So effort also signifies holiness. It also signifies worship that is holy. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise, hard-hearted, whom I have filled with the word, with the spirit of wisdom, that they may know Aaron's garments to consecrate, to consecrate him, and he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So the one of the garments that the priests wear those days is called ephod. Hallelujah. And you know that when I'm talking about priests, you and I, we are priests. Oh, you're not getting me. If you know you are a priest, you'll be excited. You and I, we are also the priests. Praise God. I say praise God. And if they could wear a garment those days that will signify direction, that will signify holiness and all that, we too, we have an effort. And our effort, we will get to know that. Praise God. I say praise God. So let's read it. Let's read the meaning of Gideon's effort. Please follow me. And now, an effort in the Old Testament was originally what? A what? A sacred priestly garment used in what? In worship and divine consultation. We saw that in from the scripture where we read. But Gideon's effort was different. It was not made by divine instruction. It was not by divine instruction that Gideon made that effort. It was made from the what? From the gold of victory and placed in where? In where? In Ophrah. Do you know what they mean by Ophrah? Ophrah is a town or a city or where Gideon lives. Maybe Gideon felt that there is no amusement, there's no monumental for people to come and see and all that. So he decided to create one. Praise God. He decided to create one. So that whoever that comes within that environs will see an effort that was created by Gideon. Now, it was made from the world, from the gold of victory, and placed in Ophrah as a religious object. There was nothing sacred. There was nothing holiness. There was nothing biblical support on what that thing Gideon did. If you have seen, I have not seen. Praise God. I say praise God. Now, let's see Judges chapter 8, verse 27. Judges chapter 8, verse 27. Now, and Gideon made an effort thereof and put it in his what? In his city. Even in what? In Ophrah. Please, IT, I'm still waiting for that sticker so that my people will see what I'm saying. That sticker that I sent to you with the topic. And all Israel went hither. What did they do? They were hurrying after it. Oh, I love the way New Living Translation put it. That word, hurrying, in the New Living Translation, we are still reading that scripture. In a New Living Translation, he did not use the word hurrying, he used the word prostitute. If you can give a New Living Translation of Judges chapter 8, verse 27, I will appreciate. And what? And they were hurrying after it. Okay, he wants to give us. Please, bold it. Let me read it. Praise God. If you are still with me, shout amen. Amen. If you are still with me, shout amen. Amen. Okay, I thought we were giving all that. But if you are not giving all, let's move further. No time. Hallelujah. Now, now you can see. Thank you. Now you can see what I was trying to show you. You can see this thing, picture you are seeing is the effort that Gideon made. Now, that thing you are seeing was made from those earrings that Gideon's gathered. And the purpose of doing this, Gideon's intention to me, was for remembrance. But the children of Israel, they did something that God became what? God became angry with them. How do I know? They turned it to be idols. The Israelite taught me to be idle. I'm teaching you what is going on in our generation today. I'm telling you what is going on in our generation today. That men of God have performed miracles because of small miracle. Members have turned, they have turned their face from God and they are following man of God. Instead of them to follow God that did, that delivered them from where? From the hands of the Midianite, their attention was shifted to who? To the object that Gideon created. Praise God. I say praise God. Let's continue what we are reading. Let's continue the definition. No, the definition where we are reading. Okay, thank you. Let's read it. Now, Gideon made a sacred effort from the golden end and put it in Ophrah. His hometown. But soon, all the Israelites, read it together. What did they do? Soon, all the Israelites did what? They prostituted themselves by worshiping it. And it became what? A trap for who? For Gideon and his family. Now let's go further, please. Now, spiritually, Gideon's effort represents one. What did he represent? He represents human's idea replacing divine command. The idea was human. There was nothing divine in it. Now, Gideon's Ephraim symbolizes what? It is a symbol replacing what? Substance. It is a symbol. Our substance, or who we have, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Or who we have is God. So, this Gideon's effort is a symbol replacing what? Substance. Now, Gideon's effort was a religion without what? Revelation. It was a pure religion. There was no revelation in it. If I thought there was revelation in it, God could have told him, God could have instructed him on how to do it, like as it was in a time of what do you call him? Of Noah. God told him what to do, how to build the ark. But this one was outside Gideon's incitement, or it was built by Gideon incitement. Ideas. Thank you. Now, what did he say? It was a memory of what? Of victory, replacing present dependence on who? On God. Instead of the children of Israel to depend on God, they were depending on objects. Instead of them to depend on God of the man, they were depending on the man of God. When you depend on the man of God, God will become angry with you. Now, lastly, Gideon's effort was a personal legacy. It was his own legacy. Competing with who? Competing with God's glory. And the Bible says it is God that cannot share his glory with any man. Anything that will take the glory of God, God hates it. He can do anything possible. And that is why our daddy has told us that no matter how, as a wife, no matter how your husband is providing for you and all that, give him his glory. Give him the respect that is due to him. Don't give your husband the respect or the glory that is due to God. Praise God. If you do that, God will become angry with you. Now, let's go further. So, the effort, let me read that note. The effort was not evil. I hope you know. That effort was not evil, yes, because of what of God. It became evil because it occupied the wrong place in the heart of people. What has occupied your heart? What is that has occupied our heart? Anything that occupied your heart is Gideon's effort. The only thing that our heart should accommodate, the only thing that should occupy our heart is nothing but who? But the Almighty God. But anything competing your heart with God, something is wrong. Let's go further. The next heading. The characteristics of Gideon's effort. One, the characteristics of Gideon's effort. It looks spiritual. The Gideon's effort, it looks spiritual. But was what? Was spiritually dangerous. And that is the picture of what we see in our generation. We live in a generation where a time when a man of God carried out Abracadabra, When a man of God speaks in tongues, when a man of God acts sometime, when a man of God perform miracle, when a man of God do this or do that, or when a Christian do this or do that, you know, it may you look spiritual, but unknown to you, there is no spirituality in it. There's no spirituality in it. You see, not everything holy looking is what? Is heaven approved. Not everything that is holy looking. You may dress like a sister from Bride Assembly, and everybody may see you to be too holy. Everybody may see me to be too holy, and so on and so forth. You may look holy in your appearance, but devil in your inward appearance. Praise God. It was born from where? From a success. Gideon was unable to know that there's a need. This success that God has confirmed, this success that has happened, this breakthrough that I've experienced, this thing that has happened, it is not for me to take the glory. He was moved by the success. Just like what happened. Give me that scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeroboam was fat. You see that? And kicked. That was, thou art waxing fat. Thou has grown thick. Thou has what? Has covered with fatness. It's describing Jeroboam. But look at what he said. He what? Then he what? He forsook God. He forsook God. Have you seen at times, you know, when you are suffering, when you are going through a state of your trials and all that, you are faithful. I am faithful. Praise God. I am faithful, you are faithful. But by the time the breakthrough comes, some people will not remember church. Praise God. Let's go further. It what? It drew attention away from God. Gideon's effort took the attentions of the people of God. What is taking, many things are taking the attention of the children of God in this generation. And anything that takes your attention from God, anything that takes my attention from God, still remember that it is Gideon's effort. Anything that steals devotion from God is what? Is an idol. Anything that steals your devotion, anything that steals my devotion, anything that totally steals my attention from God, that thing has become my idol. Can I quickly announce to you that there are so many things that have taken the attention of the children of God. But God is calling us back. That there is one effort, and we'll get to know that effort as we proceed. Let's go further. Now, it was accepted by the crowd. They accepted it. In fact, they did not even allow Gideon to finish before they began to bring their what? Before they began to bring their what? Their earrings. Is it not the same thing? A man of God stood in the pulpit. I remember some time ago, or some months ago, he said that if you can hear me and hear me clearly, One mantle is $5,000. See how people were rushing to buy mantle. One mantle. Mantle does not come from man. Mantle comes from where? It comes from God. Praise God. It comes from God. It was accepted by the crowd. Simon notes, Israel embraced it. Popularity does not equate what? Purity. It is so popular, does not mean that it is pure. It happened, it was, it trapped its maker. The thing trapped Gideon and his family. Not everything holy looking is heaven approved. Let's go to the next heading. I'm going to somewhere. Now, the dangers of Gideon's effort. What are the dangers of Gideon's effort? You see that this Gideon's effort, it turns blessing into bondage. Many Christians these days are in bondage, and some of them, they don't know. They are in the bondage of their church. They are in the bondage of their pastor. The pastor has set up himself to be the effort, and everybody in the church is worshiping pastor. And to them, they are worshiping God. Unknown to them, they are not worshiping God. They are already in bondage. And why would they remain in that bondage? Because they are haters of truth. If they have known the truth and believe the truth and accept the truth and the truth is in them, they won't do that. Some of you may not know what is going on. We live in a deadly generation where so many Christians are sincerely believing that they are worshiping God, but unknown to them, they are worshiping God in error. It corrupts your worship. Instead of them to gather together, lift up the holy hands, lift up holy voice to the Almighty God. Worship God from the sincerity of the heart. And God himself will be in the throne. Will say, yes, these are my children worshiping me. But what did they do? They left who they're supposed to worship and begin to worship the object that Gideon created. It damages future generation. See, some of these things that is going on in our generation, I pity the next generation to come. We are in a 21st century generation. By the time we enter 22nd century generation, I will tell you many things might have gone wrong. And if those things are not being corrected, if those things are not being checked, I will tell you the truth will be hard in the land. And that is why I thank God for this ministry. Because anything we see that is contrary to the scripture, my daddy is very good at that. Anything at all that he sees that the bride of Christ need to know, he will come to the pulpit. He will tell you what that brother say, what that sister say. He will open from the Bible and show you that this thing that is going on is contrary to the scripture. And it's only those that the truth is in them will accept it. But those that the truth is not in them, they will never accept it. They won't. What is he trying to do? He's trying to save the generation that is coming. There's a generation coming. And that generation that is coming is going to be a generation that if they are well put in order, if they are well packaged, I will tell you, it will be a generation that will be fire for Jesus. It replaced relationship with ritual. What they were doing with that effort was nothing but ritual. But there's even between relationship and ritual. When you do something that is contrary to the ritual that you are performing, whoever that is in charge of that ritual can take your life. But when you are in a relationship with your maker, he's a merciful God. Hallelujah. It ends strong word. It ends strong men weakly. Many men who are supposed to be strong, who are supposed to be mighty, their attention has been divided. And because of that, it is weakening them. It is weakening us. I'm telling nothing but the fact truth. What is going on in our generation today? What is happening in our generation today? It is a weakening stuff. That if you are not vibrant, if you are not strong enough, there is a say that goes that if you cannot beat them, what will you do? You will join them. You will join them. You see, starting where is good. Read it together for me. Let's read it together. Starting where is what? It's good. But finishing well is greater. It's greater. There are so many men of God. Some years ago, I know them. When they stand in a pulpit to preach, they preach nothing but the raw word of God. But they are being carried away by the enticements of the world. And when you are being carried away by the enticements of the world, you do not say what God says you should say. You say what the people say you should say. And when you come to that point of saying what people want to hear, automatically you are a dead man of God, but still standing in the pulpits. Let's take the next one. Now, this is where I want to lay more emphasis on this. The 21st century effort. It is true that Gideon set up an effort. It is true that Gideon's effort, the children of Israel prostituted to that. But in this 21st century we are, I want you to know that there are many efforts that have been set up. Today, many do not bow to carve images. Many Christians, they do not bow to carve images. I have said it before. Those days when we are born in a village, you will see different places with different shrines, with different idols and all that. But not too much like other states that I visited or recent. That every house have it. Praise God. I say praise God. I know as I travel, I notice that there are some states that my state is better than. Because there are some states who go in this country, Nigeria. Every house have an idol. They have an idol, they bow, they worship. Praise God. But the surprising part of this is that most of those idols in some places, they are no more. They are no more. So the question is, where are they? They are in the church. They are in the church. apart from being in a church, they are in other places as well. There are other places as well. And that is why, as a Christian, as a believer, we must define this effort very well, so that you will know the area that is impinging you, so that I will know the area that is impinging me, so that after this sermon, I will say, no, the only effort is the effort I know who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So what is the effort of this age? One, from that word effort, letter E is for entertainment. Entertainment has come and it is killing us. I went for a program. I took some students out yesterday. We went for a program. In that program where we went to, a child of 5 to 6 years old, was asked to sing one of these popular, I don't want to mention the name of the musician, one of these popular musician's song. As we normally say it in Africa, DJ. Now, DJ was playing the song. Now, the game is that you will come out and sing a song. And as DJ is playing the song, DJ will be missing the song. Praise God. Oh, yeah, I don't know if you're getting my point. It will go to a point where the DJ will stop and the child will continue. And it will go to a time again, the DJ will continue. Do you know that at the time that the DJ stopped, the child was continuing? Even when the DJ continued, the child was still where the DJ was. Making it to understand that the entertainment has eaten deep to our children. The entertainment has eaten deep to our youth, to a point whereby many of us now can spend hours in our Facebook. We can spend hours in our WhatsApp. We can spend too much hours in the things of the world. As something that happened, Arsenal just lose match. Are we aware? If you're aware, say amen. How do you know? Praise God. How do you know? Now, there's an information that many died because Arsenal lose. I'm not a football fan. That is one of the entertainment I hate most. But I'm not saying that it is wrong. But when it becomes wrong, when you make it, it will be your effort. You didn't get me? If you make it up your effort, that is where it becomes wrong. That you cannot eat until you have watched before. You can't do anything until you watch before. And when your fan lose, you can kill anybody. At that point, you are not only having effort, you are dead. Praise God. Entertainment has eaten deep to our children, has eaten us deep, and we're unknown to us that this entertainment has become our effort, and we must deal with it. Because why? It's stealing worship. I was in my house fellowship yesterday, come and steal worship. I told them, no, we were worshiping God. Some of our sisters can attest to that. We were worshiping God because I told them, this is once in a month. We are just giving worship to God. Do you know when you are lifting up worship to God, God accepts it. And devil knows what happens when we are fellowship. And he wants to bring different kinds of effort to distract you so that you will not be a partaker of that blessing that goes with fellowship. Praise God. Now the next one is letter P. What is letter P? Many people's effort is the possession they have. The effort is the prosperity. The effort is their pastor. Your pastor should not be your effort because your pastor did not die for you. He did not die for you. The only person that was able to die for the bride of Christ all over the world is nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was the only one that was able to die for us, our effort should be him, no man else. Don't place your effort on your possession because your possession will fail you. The Bible says a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he has. The Bible says we are just like a grass that can wither at any time. When you wither, there is another place waiting for you. It's either you go to heaven or you go to hell. Your pastor that you have made your effort will never save you. Time shall come and very soon the King of glory will come to take the bride. As many who are relying on their pastor as their effort, they will miss the rapture. Because why? At that time, your pastor will be running. Everybody will be running. But at that time, the only person who can save you is the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. I don't know what has been your effort. But I have a leading in my spirit that this morning, somebody will change his direction. I have a leading in my spirit that somebody will change his thinking. Will say, no, I will not allow my effort to be my clothes. There are some sisters, until they wear their particular clothes, they will not go to church. It's an effort. There are some sisters, as Brazo is teaching now, their ears are closed.
until they see another teacher coming about to teach. You have made that teacher your effort. A sister called me in Bible class. He may be listening to me now. He said, "Browser, because something happened, there was a shift in the workers in Bible club. I decided that I can be too busy. Our daddy has trained us that we should train people so that even when we are not around, the Bible, the book, they can continue. So I made some workers so that even if I'm not around, they will continue." A sister called me. He said, "You know, he sent me a text. I was sharing with one of the our brother, Minister Nandi. You remember that time? I was sharing it with him. I said, 'Hey, sister, just sent me a message that since I'm not coordinating the Bible class the way he should before, that he has lost interest.' I told the sister, 'You have made me your idol. You have made me your effort.'" Praise God. Don't make anything to be your effort. Don't make anything to be your effort. Can we continue, please? Can we continue? Okay, please, let me read from here. What is the next letter now? What is the next letter? What? Letter H. Some people has made what? Human approved to be the effort. It can be so approved by human. Many people might have approved it. Many people might have approved it. Let there be many. That does not mean it should be your effort. Many churches have approved it. Many pastors have approved it. Many pastors are doing it. That should not make you to take it to be your effort. If you take it to be your effort, on that last day, you will miss the rapture. On that last day, I will miss the rapture. In fact, there should not be anything that should be approved by human if it is not in line with the Bible. If that man of God is saying it, if that woman of God, whoever he is saying it, all you need to do is go back to the Bible. What did the Bible say? Because the Bible says they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He said it is given, the Bible is an inspiration that is given by who? By God. Making to understand that what they wrote is not from them. It was God that asked them to write. Or they were writing as they were receiving it from the Lord. Making to understand, that was why Apostle Paul was sure. He said, "Cursed be to any man who will preach anything contrary to what we are." He repeated it again. He said, even if an angel, even making to understand that Apostle Paul was sure that the earth may deceive you. Now he has gone beyond the earthly realm. He is now in the heavenly realm because angels do not come from the earth. Where do they come from? They come from heaven. And he's saying, even if that angel is coming from the throne of God and he's telling you, "The brother, sister, do that. Or he said, "The Lord said I should tell you." Or the Spirit of God said I should tell you. You don't just listen to what he's saying. You equate it with the scripture. If what he's saying does not rhyme with the scripture, he has received another spirit. He has received another spirit. He has received another Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What's the last letter there? The last letter is what? It's all cost substitutions. We live in a generation, a highly generation, that many people have taken all cost. They have taken cultism to be their effort. They have taken it to be their effort. I want you to know that it is not all the miracle that happened in the stage. It is not all the miracle that happened in the pulpit. It's from God. I want you to know that 90% of those miracles you see are occult manipulations, are demonic manipulations. And because they are demonic manipulations, because one thing that gets the attention of the children of God most is when they see miracles. But the bride of Christ, we are not moved by miracles. Because we know miracles are children's bread. We are above miracle. Miracle is in us. We are carrier of miracle. When you see me, you see miracle. So why will I be running for miracle? When I ask for miracle, I receive miracle. So I'm above miracle. Praise God. I said, praise God. I'm above miracle. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are not moved. The Bible says, "My children that he has given to me, they are for what? They are for signs and wonder." We are for signs and wonder. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe my name. As long as I believe, there shall be a sign. There shall be a sign." So I should not be running after sign. I should not be running after this. I can only run after that if it is from the word of God. But if it's not from the word of God, we shouldn't run from it. Praise God. Why should you make Jesus your effort? Why should you make Jesus your effort? The Bible says something in John chapter 3, verse 14. John 3:14. I'm running out of the teaching. John 3:14. What did he say? As Moses lifted up what? The serpent in the wilderness. There was a serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. Why was the serpent lifted up in the wilderness? Because the children of Israel, they have lost their direction. The children of Israel have been beaten by that bronze serpent. And the Lord said to Moses, the only solution is to lift up the serpent. And as many that can look up to that serpent that has been killed and hung on that pole will be made whole. Glory to God. And I said it sometimes I was preaching. You cannot rely on pole. Because when there is a heavy, downpour, the pole will fall. Oh. And when the pole falls, it will fall along where there is serpent. But there is a perfect pole that cannot fall. There is a perfect pole that cannot fall. Even when the rain comes. In fact, he is in charge of the rain. He is in charge of the weather. He is in charge of everything. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one that was lifted up. And the Bible says, as many that can look up unto him, they shall be saved. They shall be saved. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible tells us that a virgin woman shall give birth. And who is that man? Who is that birth that was given? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that upon him, the shoulder, the government, everything will be on his shoulder. And that man is the Lord Jesus. The Bible referred him to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was not only born. He was not only born. The Bible also says that he was born for a purpose. And that was why when he came in confront with his disciples, he was telling them, I know my cause. I came to die for Brother Uzzah. And Peter said to him, no, you will not die. He said, Peter, get behind me. I have Uzzah in mind even before he came. And what did he do? The Bible tells us that he went to the cross. And in that cross, he paid the price your pastor could not pay. He paid the price your church could not pay. He paid a price that nobody could pay. Nobody on earth was able to pay that price that he paid. He went through humiliation. He went through pain just because of me. And the interesting part of this is that before he died, he told his disciples, I'm not only going to die, I will also resurrect. And the Bible says, after the death, what happened? The Bible tells us that the women went to the sepulchre. They were looking for Jesus. And the Bible says, an angel appeared to him, appeared to them, why seek the living among the dead. It was only Jesus that is still alive, even up to as I'm speaking to you. He is still alive because other religions, other people, they promised they will die for us. They promised they will pay for us, but they were not able. But Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world, his tomb is empty. If you go there now, there is nothing in his tomb. Why? Because he has risen. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. If you know, if I know, it has risen. There is a need. There is a need to understand that he went through all this thing because he lost you. He went through all this thing because he lost me. And if I truly understand what this brother is saying, there is a need for me to ask myself, what is the effort? Upon all that Jesus did for me, upon all that Jesus paid for me, what have I used to be my effort? That is all I want to achieve this morning. What has been my effort? What has been your effort? Look at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm running out with that scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. What did he say? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I don't know whether I'm right with that scripture, but it should be my favorite scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. IT, please. Praise God. He said, he what? He that committed sin is of what? Is of the devil. For the devil sinned from where? From the beginning. For this purpose. For this purpose. For this purpose. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was manifested so that the work of the devil may be destroyed. Don't rely on any man. Don't rely on any woman. Let your effort be Jesus. Let your effort be Jesus. Let my effort be Jesus. A songwriter say, I will die at my post. No matter whatever it be us, that is what we do. No matter what is going on in the economy, we will die for Jesus. Because Jesus is the only way. No way out. We come to draw. Draw by your hand. Draw. And draw from you again. By your hand. Yeah. Yeah, I have come to draw.
Draw from you again. Yeah, yeah.
In Jesus' name we've prayed. If you've been blessed by that exhortation, can you put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. Please, just to add one or two. Thank you very much, Professor. I call Brother Uzo Professor. God bless you, Brother Uzo, for the story of Gideon that you brought out for us. Please let me just add one or two things about that story and what you should know. Gideon became another example of the foolish virgins. The effort itself was not bad. Please note so. The effort was something that the priests wore. It was part of the priestly garment. There was no good effort. There was no bad effort. But what we should know about that story was that, you know the story of David, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's read from verse 1. So that we'll link it with that story and you understand why Gideon missed it. 2 Samuel chapter 6 from verse 1. Sorry, if you have your Bible, you can turn your Bibles. It says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the, verse 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fair wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there. For what? For his error. Why? Because the ark was supposed to be carried by Levites. David had a good intention. Let's bring the ark of God home. But he didn't go about it according to what was written. God, according to the doer, that thank you. God ordained that the Levites will carry the ark. So also, Gideon was not a Levite. God used you, mighty man of valor. You brought victory to Israel. Out of zeal, he didn't do it for any ulterior motive. Out of zeal, just like David, he felt, the people now know that Yahweh, Jehovah, is the living God. He made an effort. When they told Gideon, reign over us, let your sons reign over us, he said, no, I will not reign over you. God will reign over you. Still out of that zeal, he designed what didn't concern him, what pertained only to the priest. Are we together? So it was not the effort that was evil. It was that Gideon acted foolishly, doing God a service without it being God's will. You will notice that this is what our pastor has been emphasizing for a few weeks now. Gideon was sincere in heart, just like David was sincere in heart, to add to what Brother Uzo taught us. But Gideon didn't go about it according to the due order. And Judges 8:27, there is a statement the Bible makes. It said it became a trap to Gideon and his household. Let's read it. Judges 8:27. And Gideon made an effort thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And Israel went thither, a warring after it. Which thing became what? A snare, a trap unto Gideon and to his house. By doing what he did, he established a new order of worship. I don't know if you understand me. People were no longer going to the Levites. They were no longer going to the priest. Since Gideon, that God used, that gave us his victory, since he also has an effort, let us go there. So he created, if I may say, another religion unknown to him. But what was his sin primarily? Doing God a service without it being God's will, acting without revelation. So if we will add to what we've been learning so far, Gideon is an example of a foolish virgin. Sincere, wants to serve God, but didn't serve God according to knowledge. And it brought about a terrible end for him. Thank you very much, Brother Uzo. I felt I needed to add that. And if you have been blessed once again, can you put your hands together for the Lord? You are not a priest. Stay away from the priesthood. Simple. God has used him. He would have remained a judge. But doing what he did, he acted in the office of a priest. And he's not a Levite. He's not a priest. So it's similar to what David did, carrying the ark when you are not the priest. And so for that action, there was no blessing for Gideon and his household. But may we be wise virgins in Jesus' name. Let's be on our feet and put our hands together for the Lord Jesus.